Good evening to you. It's a blessing to be here with you tonight and to study the Word of God together. And it's a wonderful thing to have a Bible study together. Somehow it seems out our way. We got off a track a number of years ago, and we just have once a week. And I cherish myself, personal opinion, twice a week Bible study where it can be focused and put your time there and get a lot out of it. Well, that was a bunny trail. But I'm glad to be here with you tonight and pray that you are studying the Word of God together. Now, I'd like to say something here to you because I just want to say it, that I will be concluded by 8:30, so you can sit back and feel okay about the time. Who should I vote for? What do you think? Well, I'd like to start out to say this evening that this is a huge subject, and the subject does not merely include the presidential politics. It seems like non-voting Republican Mennonites often get more excited over that time than they do about a lot of the other elections, but it's a much bigger subject tonight, and I won't be able to cover nearly all of it. It's a subject involving every political aspect of the world and its affairs. And I can't enter into all those practical aspects tonight. But what is said in principle tonight, I believe, covers it. Let me try to tell you what I'm saying there. The first time I gave this was over at the Calvary congregation, and the evening that I was to be speaking there, the farm that's next to our farm, one we have our name on at least, there was going to be a zoning meeting that night, and I kind of thought I would probably go there, and this was before I began to put much effort into this, but I kind of thought I would go to that zoning ordinance. They want to change the zoning there so that they can put in 172 acres of solar panels in an electric generating. And so I called the office there because I wasn't going to be able to be there. And the lady said, you should be there. You're joining Landowner. Your voice counts. Your voice will count because I'm the only adjoining landowner. The railroad runs on the one side and the road runs on the other side. And we would like to sell our property sometime. And so it makes a difference about what goes over there. And she said, you need to come to the office because your voice will count. But as I knew that I couldn't be there anyway, and as I studied, and there's things I'd like to say tonight, I'm not sure that I needed to be there. I don't even know if I should have been. Other words, should I appeal that thing or endorse it? What should I do? Okay, would the tenants there just to listen, would that be wrong? And could I stay spiritually and emotionally aside? There's some questions for you to think about. So tonight's an interesting title, I suppose, but the real question is, who will you vote for? And I say that because I pray that our winter Bible school addresses are more than mechanics. See, if we come to Bible school and it's just a mechanic and we got to Bible school and we didn't go home and something didn't register here, then we've wasted our evening. So I pray that our Bible schools and our topics are more than mechanics. Now, someone said that he that says it simple says it best. And you know that is not my gift, but I will try this evening. Because maybe there are young folks here tonight who really never knew or never really understood why don't we vote. That's a real possibility. Because maybe the mechanics didn't reach into the right spot. And so maybe there are young folks here tonight that really do wonder why in the world don't we vote. Now, I've already told you that the title is a title play, and that's not a word, but do you know what a word play is? It means you take a word and make it say something, and you play on it and make it say something than what it really says. Well, tonight, I didn't put this title together. Someone else did, and they assigned it to me. And this theme was chosen by brothers who planned these study times. And often they choose topics or themes that we don't often address. And they gave me this strange title. It's a title play. A word play is when you play on the meaning of a word and change its real meaning in humor or perhaps to make a point. In other words, the title is to play to say something different than the title suggests or says on the surface. In other words, this message tonight is not about whether you should vote for Hillary or Trump. Now, did you get that? That should be simple enough. That's not what it is about tonight. So you can relax now. There are three parts of the message tonight. One is logic. And the second is Bible matters about it. And third is the conclusion or Jesus politics. Now, there would be a few good reasons, I believe, that Christians should want to know about what's happening in the political world. I'll just give you one, and then we'll go on because I don't have time to spend much time on that. But I have a Christian friend in Virginia who reads the paper every single morning, and I always thought that reading the paper was a waste of time. But he reads the paper every single morning, and he makes a prayer list from that. If that is the reason that we are watching the news, that's a good reason. So I'll just go on from there. And for time restraints, I won't spend time with biblical church government tonight. That's not the subject tonight. I won't spend time on that tonight. But I have a few questions before we go very far. Why would a Christian have a keen interest in politics of the world? Why would he? Just think about that. And why do most religious groups in America stand so convinced that Christians should be actively involved in politics and voting? Why is that? And let me ask you another question. Why are there quite a few very conservative Mennonites or conservative Anabaptist groups who do vote? Did you know that? Well, a number of years ago, about 7 or 8 years ago, I was in a very conservative setting. I know that's a bad word, or not a definitive word. But I was in a very, very conservative home overnight, and I left the breakfast table and went out into their garage, and there was a political election going on, I think presidential, but I'm not sure. And sure enough, I found out this group votes. And it was kind of a new thing to me. And some of you are a little bit older. Remember whenever Mr. Bush came in over here at Harrisburg? Remember that picture in either World Magazine or else, I don't remember which, and all those black hats there? Remember that? Some of the older ones remember that. The only point I'm making is that there are a fair amount of conservative, whatever that word means, conservative groups that do vote. And why is that? And then maybe closer is, why are so many pilgrim people so highly involved in politics by conversation and news watching? See, my neighbor asked me not long ago, and his mother was a brethren, but he hasn't darkened the door for a long time. And he said, Edmund, I came into my house, and he said, Edmund, for 40 years, you Mennonites have been preaching to me, and I shouldn't have TV. And he said, that's all I do is use it to watch the news. And now, he said, you have those computers. What was I supposed to tell him? What was I supposed to say? You know what? I just decided to tell him the truth. I said, yep, Charlie, you're right. That's a good question. What else was I supposed to say? What else should have I said? What do you think? So I'll give an overarching statement concerning interest in the current presidential election. In a democratic political system of which we are civil subjects tonight, we can measure the current moral strength or decline by the choice of its candidates for office. In other words, those who rise to the top of the political world are a measure, some kind of a measure, of the moral climate of the society in a democratic system. That is because the people are making the choice. So the morals of the people. Okay, let me give it this way. Any nation that is willing to exalt a fanatical billionaire or a lying woman is saying something about that moral climate of that country, right? That's how Democrat government and political systems work. It can't work any other. The direction is always down because of that in a political system. In a democratic system. It's always going to be down in a democratic system because that's what happens to society. So a conservative is not the same conservative as he was 25, 30 years ago. It's always down in democratic church or in democratic political system. So the character and the person of those candidates are an indicator or a measurement of the moral values in the people. And you know, if we are watching and highly interested in the news for that reason, to see the moral debauchery and what's happening, and to get our minds and our passions involved, that the imminent judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ is soon coming, and it passions us to get out there and to spread the gospel, then it's a good reason. Because what you can see if you're watching is you're seeing this. And what this means is that God's judgment is going to fall. And the time is running out. So, you know, I'm a man too, and so I'm talking tonight out of my own heart. But it should not stir our heart too much about a conservative man or a conservative woman, whatever that is, to defeat the current situations in which we live. I don't think that should be our prime reason. It should purify our hearts. If we're going to watch the news, it should purify our hearts about what's happening and where we are on the time clock. So now we have the first point. Who should I vote for? Now, you know this. There are two kingdoms, and this is a political. Or the world's kingdom. And then inside that is Jesus' kingdom. Now the Bible says that one day there's going to be a great big rock fall out of a mountain, and this one's going to consume that one. But for now it looks something like this. Jesus' kingdom in the bigger kingdom. So we can't cover everything tonight. And right now, it looks something like this. I like to talk about logic, first part of the message. Just the logic about it. I know this statement will bring up a lot of questions and perhaps more because I don't have enough of time to clarify it all. But you test it by the Word of God. But I say it's true because it's true, and maybe it's something you never thought about before. The Bible nowhere teaches or supports democracy rule. Doesn't. It's not there. Rule by the people. It's not a biblical pattern. And that is why, because the road of democracy rule is always the lowest common denominator. And this is why the founding fathers of this nation did not really want a democracy, but they were setting up a government in response to what was the opposite. See? They were setting up a democracy because of what was happening on the extreme of the other, where a king was a tyrant. Or at least they thought he was. He said he was. But they knew the founding forefathers knew that the internal innate elements of democracy of itself will always send a nation spiraling down. They knew that innate aspect because democracy means rule by the people, so it always comes to the lowest common denominator. It's not a biblical concept. In other words, the majority decides and the majority will always morally go down, not up. So now while we speak, the nation is not deciding who is the best. They're deciding who is the best of the worst or who is the best of the two evils. See? So now the nation is deciding which are the best of the two evils. Because this is happening. So fundamentally along the lines of this slide in the moral decay, the nation and the democracy of which we are now, they are deciding which are the better of the two. That's a better way to say it than the two evils. They are deciding which are the better of the two. And that does not say that either of them. We're only talking about logic right now. So that is not the same as deciding who is the best qualified and the capable. So the point is logically flawed by its in itself. Yeah, I know the argument. Well, at least if I vote, I can slow it down. That's about all I have to say about that. I guess maybe there's some truth about that. Let's go on. So forces people to decide between two or more men that are not Christian because they're not of this kingdom. So people must decide between two or more men who are not Christian or who are of this world. In other words, I would be forced to vote for a man if I were to vote. I would be forced. I'm not using logic yet. We would be forced to vote for a man who is without Christ driving his life. So which one of the many would I vote for? Oh, you say Mr. Carson, he's a Seventh-day and a quite godly. He doesn't believe in hell. Plus a lot of things. Yes, he has moral structure, but that is not Christ's values, per se. And yes, it can hold up moral value, which lifts a society without having Christ in your heart. That's a possibility. That's what's wrong with the picture of mixing these two kingdoms. In other words, since the Bible is clear that Christian would not hold public office because of what that entails, then the vote between two or more is voting for values of that which a Christian cannot embrace. Voting between the lesser of two wrongs to somehow try to hold it up. And beside that, the game in itself is absurd and crazy and driven by a jungle of the most powerful and wealthy. You read this in John chapter 20, verse 25, where Jesus said, "My kingdom's not like trying to get on top." What I'm saying is this political world is a jungle of who can get on top. And Jesus said, "My kingdom isn't of that. My kingdom is different than that. My kingdom works the other way. It's not who can get on top, but that's what this is." So if I were going to try to justify the thought that at least I can hold it back, what I'm doing is entering into that jungle of two men who are not part of Jesus' kingdom anyway. I'm still only talking about logic. So let's think of two scenarios which on the point so far. Two candidates, two women, one from each party. The great possibility. So now if you believe the Bible, now which one would you vote for? Two women. One from the Republicans and one from the Democrats, and you believe the Bible. Now which one would you vote for? See, logic doesn't work. Some of you are missing that. But what if there were two women? Then what would you do? It's easy this time. But what if there was a lady, two ladies? Now, if you believe the Bible, which one would you vote for? And if one of the ladies were pure and a lawful marriage and a member of a Bible-professing church, and of course held to the traditional Republican values, And part of that party, who would you vote for? And her opponent was a conservative adulterer. Then which? So the one would be a Democrat in a lawful marriage, and the Republican would be an adulterer. Then what would you do? What would we do? We're only talking about logic. See, in reality, okay, one man holds and claims to keep the traditional Republican values, but he lives with a second wife, and his opponent is upright in his manners of personal life, but he's a Democratic Party and allows the gay rights law. Now which one? See, in reality, he may well be the better leader in this declining ramp, even though he is in an unlawful marriage. He may still well be the best leader. Okay, let's think of Felix Mons. Who would he vote for in Switzerland? Zurich. You say that's not fair. Switzerland was not democratic. Felix didn't need to decide. But let's suppose it was, for argument's sake. Would Felix have voted? Well, we know the answer because suddenly, see, we're here in the two kingdoms. We know that Felix wouldn't have voted because he understood the two kingdom concept. That's why they killed him. So the reasons are still the same. It's just not as obvious. So the logic just puts the voting off limits for Christians. If just sheer logic. If all we're using logic. In the end, any thinking person would be surprised that Mennonites who claim to belong and who claim to be ambassadors of Jesus' kingdom have so much interest or are of the non-voting Republican Party. See? Any thinking person would agree. But I'm aware that might be argued as only a logical opinion. You see, if I were a non-Christian and I understood these two concepts, I would despise a man who got involved with it. I would be like my neighbor. I would say, why aren't you, what's going on? So I'm not saying we should have no interest, but I might be if by the grace of God we do not know who we are and our desires are not hard after God. Well, that's just a little bit of logic. Let's talk about the Bible. Bible reasons for not voting, number two. Number one, because God rules and decides that the kingdoms through this kingdom. God decides through this kingdom, not through this kingdom. And we can go to Daniel, we can go to the other verses where he says he sets up whomsoever he will and puts down whomsoever he will. So God decides through this kingdom, not through this kingdom. We are this kingdom, this is the world's kingdom. And he decides who he's going to put up through this system here, between the world's kingdom. Jeremiah 27:5, if you have writing notes. Daniel 4:25, Daniel 5:22, John 19:11. I'm looking for the, pardon me. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants vote that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from here. You said, I quoted that wrong, but you see, Jesus said, this is my kingdom. If it wasn't, I would send you to. And you see, everyone that votes here, did you know that everyone that votes for the top man here, he is also the head man of the U.S. Army. Did you know that? So he calls shots. And this is a huge subject, and I see why we're running out of time. But you see, I can't vote here. Because whoever I vote here for, whether he's conservative or liberal, whatever he is in a position of which this kingdom does not give voice. And that is, he is a judgment man. That's the only way this kingdom, it has to run that way. They have to say whether immigrants can come in or not. They're responsible for the safety of this nation. We're not. They're responsible for all kinds of things. They're just responsible when you pull the trigger. See? So when you run away from the police, someone runs away from the police, he's supposed to pull the gun. That's his work. Romans chapter 13, 9 says he's supposed to pull the gun. He's a minister of righteousness. So if you run away from the cop, his duty is to pull the gun. I can't vote for him. It's not my world. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Therefore, my servants do not vote. Because voting puts him there. Somehow. And then you see, why would a Christian get involved in that? Maybe it is because we have lived so long in a world that thinks that we are entitled to freedom. See? We have lived so long in a world that we think now that we are entitled. Listen, we're only a small percentage of the world population that lives a completely different way. And Christians of this kingdom are not necessarily entitled to what we have, to the peace and the security we have. We are not entitled to it, young folks. I know where to pray for it. I agree we should pray for it. But we are not entitled to it. It's a huge issue. And the persecution. And so somehow we think we need to get involved and make sure that we preserve our peace and safety. Jesus never promised us that. And thousands of Christians in the eras of time have gone and lived in a situation much different. Maybe that's the reason. You see, voting is a conscious choice to have it my way, but what if God wants it another way? What if God wants a Nero? So voting is a conscious choice to make sure that somehow I get my 10 cents in so that I can have it my way. We are of the kingdom of peace for now and in eternity. Isaiah 9:6 says that the kingdom of Jesus Christ will be peace forever. And I don't know what your theological belief is here, but I'll share mine at least on this point. I do not believe that Christians are going to get out their sword and help Jesus in judgment. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And the sharp sword that goes out of Jesus' mouth will be enough. And I don't expect to carry one. Because Isaiah says his kingdom shall be a kingdom of everlasting peace. And this kingdom is not a kingdom of peace. It can't operate as a kingdom of peace. It is dead tomorrow, which it almost is, if there's not judgment for sin. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. But this kingdom and this man who has voted in is responsible to pull the gun. He's responsible to do that. This kingdom cannot operate another way. But this one can. See, that's Jesus' work. And all the lawyers and all the judges and all the police and all the county supervisors and the zoning officer that you helped to put in office, or I help, those jobs require allegiance to this state. But not this one. Our allegiance is to this state. But all of those voted in positions require allegiance to this world, of which Jesus said, we are not part. The world is of one blood and one nation, and the will of God is for them all to be saved. And therefore, I cannot build a wall to keep the immigrants in or out. Pardon. I can't do that. My kingdom won't do it. My kingdom is a kingdom of peace. So there's a strong battle going on. Should we build a wall down at the Rio Grande River? You know this. That's this. They must do that. That's their responsibility to protect their people. But it's not our responsibility. Therefore, my servants do not fight. And the Bible teaches that we serve in a divided kingdom. In the world, but not ruled by its precepts. Yes, Peter says we should obey God. And that's another whole package. But you know, brother already said it tonight in the class. But we should follow the Bible even when I do not understand all of it. It is the desire of he who seeks the kingdom. So if there were no other reason that you would not vote tonight, it's because Jesus said so. There's a lot more reason. But if he just said so, that's enough. There's one scripture that says feet washing, and none of us want to give that up. So if there was one verse in the Bible, and there is at least one, where Jesus said to Pilate, my servants are not of this world, therefore they don't fight and vote. That's enough. That would be enough. Even if I don't understand the rest of it. See, I'm going to say something from my heart tonight, if I may. And I pray it will be understood and rightly perceived. If you have questions, I'm open to dialogue on it. But in our churches, when I say Pilgrim Church, we are facing a lot of spiritual challenges in our churches. We really are, folks. And not necessarily secluded to politics. So I hope I can be understand. See, a man recently said to me about my age, he said this out loud, which I had perhaps thought, but never dared or was bold enough to say it. But he said it to me out loud a couple of weeks ago. He said, Edwin, the Pilgrim Conference is not the same in its inner motives and intents that you and I joined 25 years ago. That's what he said. And I complained and I wrestled with that. But I think he is right. But we can have it back. And what he was saying was, when Pilgrim was formed, it had an intense desire just to take the Word of God and to believe it and obey it. Even if I don't understand it, if it said it, that's enough. But listen, folks, you don't have to be discouraged with that statement I just made. We can have it back. See, that's enough of reason. If I can't give you any other reason tonight, that's enough because Jesus said so. See, logic is not enough to save us. I'll give you some examples. A couple weeks ago, over Sunday, my wife and I, we thought it would be nice. We went up to the Mercerburg Choir on Sunday afternoon to hear the Messiah. There was a symphony up there, and I thought, well, that would be a good thing to do. So we went up there to listen. And they brought in this lady, a national acclaimed vocalist, to do the vocal part. And she was the height of moral indecency. Okay, you say, well, that was a good thing to go to. Okay, and you know, Chevy pickups, Denali pickups, they look nice too. There's a lot of stuff. My point is this. There's a lot of stuff that we're only deciding by logic. There's a lot of stuff that's good and right and nice to do. Do you understand that? And then about 3 days later, and I was going on up there, and I was a certain part of Pennsylvania, and these buggies kept passing me, and they had pretty blue lights on. And don't laugh. See, we do the same thing, just on a different level. And that was pretty, too. And a young lady dressed in a cape dress, but immodest, that's pretty, too. There's a lot of pretty stuff. There's a lot of good stuff, but that's logic, and that's it. And the point is, the Bible says it, and that's enough. So if you miss anything else, that's enough not to vote tonight because Jesus said don't. Our driving desire to be to serve Christ and find His will through the Word. And if it says it, that's enough. And we can have it back. Let me illustrate it this way. When Dean Taylor was in Germany, he and his wife, and they were struggling, and he was in the army. And he was there, and he tells his story, Brother Dean Taylor, and he says one night, you know, his wife had went to bed, she was kind of tired, he was digging in the Word, and the Word was claiming his life. And he went there, and she was kind of almost going to sleep, and Dean said to his wife, he said, you know, I read this verse, it said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight that I should not be delivered and so forth. He said to his wife, what do you think that means? And she kind of just rolled over sleepily in bed. She said, probably just exactly what it says. See, there's an interesting verse in Deuteronomy chapter 32:5. We'll just turn there. I'll try to get this closed down. Very interesting verse. Chapter 32, verse 5. And the writer, Moses, is talking about people who lost their way. And he says in verse 5, they have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are perverse and a crooked generation. You know, there's no one here of talking age or eating age or communicating age that misunderstands what this is. And this is in 119 countries and billions of dollars of advertising. And listen, it has never changed. Sometimes they make it green for different reasons, or red, or put some other logos, or change a little bit. But the message is the same. We are burgers and fries. Burgers and fries. And when you go into India, it has to be rice burgers. And rice burgers, because you can't kill cows in India. So it has to be rice burgers. But the point is, this company has never ever sidetracked from their logo. And Moses writes, there's a generation of people, and it's been blemished. See, I tried last week. I went from QuickBooks 2003. To 2016, and I told my wife, I said, they claim the same thing, but the logo isn't even close. Not even close. You got the point? See, young folks, we want the logo. Our identity and our ambassadorship is unchanging. We are the highest ranking officers to this kingdom, to represent the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And guess what? If I were an ambassador to Germany, I don't get to vote in Germany's elections. I'm forbid to do so. Why would I vote here? This is my world. This is not my world. This is my world. So if you missed it, since I've gotten more than 3 points tonight, and we were instructed tonight that if you get more than 3, you'll miss it. Because we are a Jesus kingdom, and it's a kingdom of peace. And this is not a kingdom of peace. This is a kingdom of vengeance for righteousness' sake. That's the only way it can operate. But we are a Jesus kingdom. And Jesus said, my kingdom does not vote. It does not fight. It's an everlasting kingdom of peace. And our logo is the Lord Jesus Christ. See, some products, they say, well, it's the same product, it's just a different logo. See? You ever hear that? Same thing, just a different logo. See, will we remain true if our deepest desire is to use the Word of God and to measure our lives and to be guided by it? If we do, the logos will never become confused or corrupted. The spot. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of their fathers. Pardon me. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Is our logo blemished on this truth that we're trying to grasp tonight? Is your logo and political identity solidly with the kingdom of Jesus Christ and peace? You can't change it. The churches of the world do not understand the separation of church and state. And this is why they are forcing us, or trying to promote to us, that we should vote to try to slow down the problem. I don't need to do that. That belongs to them. It is their world, and they certainly should be doing it somehow. But it's not for me, and it's not for you. Okay, who will you vote for? I'll tell you who I'll vote for. I'll vote for the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you.